Well, those of you that are just tuned into the podcast, I welcome you to the House of Manna podcast. I'm excited for this word. You may have not have been in the church service tonight, but I'm telling you, this word is for you. If you receive it, you can achieve it. But if you believe it, you shall receive it in its fullness. I bless the very Lord of God, the Lord of hosts, the King of kings. I thank you that you are on the throne today and forever. Father, this service I committed unto you to have your very way. I thank you for those that are listening by the way of the podcast, those that are here in representation of their family, their extended family. I thank you that your blessing shall go down to 1,000 generations. Father, I thank you that you are establishing your kingdom here on earth, Lord. And I thank you that we are your ambassadors, Lord, that we carry your very promise, Lord. And we release it in its season. But Father, I thank you that we receive it in its season as well. So we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, the Gospel of John. This particular story is only written in the Gospel of John. And when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're on your phones or your tablets, please highlight this scripture. We're going to go from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Are you ready?
Amen.
I'm going to read it out of the NIV. And it begins reading in this wise. And it says, I had it in the Amplified. Let me read out the Amplified real quick. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited with his disciples to the wedding. And when the wine was all gone, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus said to her, "Dear woman, what is that to you? And to me, what do you have in common? Leave it to me. My time, my hour to act has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 water pots of stone standing there as a Jewish custom of purification, ceremonial washing, demanded holding 20 to 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. Then he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the manager of the feast, to the one presiding, the superintendent of the banquet." So they took some to him. And when the manager tasted the water just now turned into wine, not knowing where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew he had called the bridegroom, he said to him, "Everyone else serves his best wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then he serves that which is not so good. But you have kept back the good wine until now." How many of you believe that sometimes you feel like God has passed you by? But he saves the best for last. I want you to, if you're writing this down, I want you to write this down. This is a question. Can we call heaven into action? Can we call heaven into action? I find it interesting where the mother comes to Jesus and tells Jesus, "There's no more wine." And he says, "Woman, what do I have to do with you?" And we would think, you don't talk to mama like that. You don't let me call my mom woman. Woman. Let me tell my wife, "Hey, woman, what do I have to do with you?" The response would not be favorable. But I think that this is what here, I want you to see it. Read it in your Bibles. It says, "Woman, what have to do? It's not yet my time. It's not my time yet." She doesn't respond back to Jesus concerning what he told her. What does she say? Goes now to the disciples, the servants that are there. Okay, watch this. I am not going to listen to what you have to say. There is a need that needs to be filled. And even though you give me a response that's not favorable to what I need, I am going to speak to somebody that's going to listen to what you have to say. Watch this. There's a shift. Just do what he says. And she walks off. That's faith. Let me explain that. What is faith, Veronica? Is faith saying, Jesus, son, there ain't no more wine? You better go handle it. You know, my Bible's different. And then stand there and wait for his response. And then he says, not yet my time. What was mom going to do? So, you know, okay, never mind. It's not your time. You're Jesus. I know you're the Son of God. You're Emmanuel, God with us. You were born in a manger. Start going through the checklist. I shouldn't be questioning you and what you're saying, your authority. But I find it very interesting. If you understood the Jewish custom of the wedding, you know how we have a wedding. We reserve a day. Theirs is a whole week. How many of you, when you get married or have been married and got married, you had everything you needed and surplus? Raise your hand. You had surplus? You had excess, everything. You didn't have to worry about nothing before the wedding. No, we all had something where we need sponsors just for the napkins. We need sponsors for, well, food. You know, we need sponsors for everything. So there's always a need that needed to be met. Sometimes you went to the family first, right? Well, when it came to the wedding, the wedding family, the bride's mother, the bridal party, if you would, the mother, the father, it was insulting if they didn't have enough for the whole week. So that tells me she had, the mother, Mary, had something vested into that. There must have been an association there for her to be so considerate to the family. Okay. Oh, man, I wish you would get this. Maybe you're not the one in need, but you know somebody else is in need. Maybe you're not the one in lack, but somebody else is. And if you were just to call on Jesus, even though it's not time for the harvest for them, but there is a need that needs to be met. My faith says that you're going to move even though it's not yet your time. It shall be activated because of my faith. Okay. Because of my faith, not your timing, will make things happen out of the norm. My faith. How's your faith? I always pick on you, and I know that. Okay, blessings. Blessings, okay. Not you either? Why are you laughing at me? Okay. Listen. Go ahead. Now, listen. Your faith says, I don't care what you said, Jesus. I know it ain't the time. I know it's not your time, but it's my time. Yeah. This should be making somebody excited. Look at here, Jesus. I know it's not your time to demonstrate heaven here, but it's my time, and I know what my faith says can happen. Yeah. My circumstance of what I see is not faith. My faith says, if I'm with you, I should always have enough. Even though it's not for me and it's for somebody else. Wow. Oh, now, this is so beautiful. I think Jesus did this purposely. Just, this is me. This is not in scripture. These are my thoughts. I have to say it because you don't know the texts and emails that I get. That is sacrilegious when you start adding things. The Bible says you are not to add to revelation. Oh, my God. That's why you're such... Never mind. Okay. Forgive me. Okay. Says, you see the pots? How much did it say it held? 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot of wine. Lord. Mary must have said, hey, look. They've been serving this stuff and it's all gone. I know there ain't no store you can go and buy. There ain't no CVS. There ain't no Dollar General. There ain't nothing open right now you can go get it. But I know that I can put a demand by faith on something that is not here but will show up because of my faith. Amen. Jesus looked and said, okay. He told the servants, you see those pots over there? He said, you know what those pots were? Well, you wash your hands. You read it, right? The ceremonial cleansing. What is it saying? It says, I'm going to use the things that are dirty and unfit to even taste better than everything else they could ever imagine. So when you think you messed up, you think you're full of dirt, God says, if you let me just touch it with my words, watch what will happen. You'll be the very thing they're saying, you saved the best for last. He said, fill it up. So how much? To the brim. Is that a little bit below so they don't spill it? No, he said to the brim. Why? Because if God gave you a vessel, he is going to put the kingdom of heaven and his blessing all the way to its capacity, to the very top. He's going to fill it all the way. He's not going to come short. He's going to make sure that it's all the way filled. You are filled with the kingdom of God all the way to the top. Now, these servants are looking to me. They're looking and saying, this is a little dirty in there. He didn't say go wash the pots. He said, fill the pots. What does the kingdom of heaven do? You come into the kingdom dirty. You come into the kingdom dirty. Your whole soul, your whole body, everything is dirty. And he says, oh, you want me? I'm going to fill myself into that dirty vessel. I'm going to pour myself into it. I'm going to fill you up to the very top. And I'm going to use you to be displayed to the world. So now here's these servants. He says, now get you some out of there and take it to the manager. You know why he said them to do that? Because if that servant was to take it to the manager, who's going to be the manager? Okay, you're going to be the manager, Jonathan. I want to bring this here. Where's my cup? Okay. See if it turns to wine. Okay, it's white wine, so. You have to activate it. Amen. Okay, amen. So they take from the pots that was dirty, filled it, and now watch this. Now you know those servants knew what it was. Can you imagine the servant walking to the banquet manager, walking to the manager of this wedding, bringing it to him, looking this whole time. Oh, my God. Oh, we're in trouble. Oh, it's changing colors. It's, oh. Oh, it's clean water. Good. Oh, wait a minute. Then what does he do? He tells the others, wait a minute. As they're drinking, you're not supposed to give the best at the end. You give the cheap stuff at the end. You have saved the best for last. So now you think of that servant. That servant's looking like, what just happened? Ooh. I believe. I just witnessed a miracle before my eyes of transformation. That you'll take something that's dirty and make it the best. Amen. Make it the best. Right? Wine tasted good, didn't it? Those on the podcast, it's water. Just kidding. So all these Christian churches get in trouble if they do any kind of outreach and they serve alcohol. But if it's a Catholic outreach and they have kegs of beer and stuff, that's okay, right? Yeah. Double standards. That's okay. I'm just speaking my... Hello. Ooh, I'm just saying, man. People just get after the pastors and stuff of Christian churches. You ain't supposed to be drinking and smoking. But if you go to a Catholic church when they're having their festivals, Lord Jesus, they have more kegs out there than anything else. Lord. Police officers everywhere because they know how they're going to get. Shoo. Let me just reveal his glory to you. You can walk out of here drunk in the Holy Ghost and you can just open your mouth and say, Lord, give me some more to drink, God, because what you have for me out of heaven is so far greater than what's out there in the world. Fill me to the brim, God. Use whatever you want to use inside of me to make people that are next to me become even greater believers in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to teach today. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of heaven is put into action by your faith. Do you ever hear anything else that Mary says anymore? Mary just kept on saying, I knew it all along. My faith says I can bring heaven here. Did she say anything else? Oh, I'm sorry. Did Mary say anything else, sir? No, didn't say anything else. So what Mary had to say put something into action, did it not? Mary put things into action. Your faith will put things into action. Your faith will make change. Your faith will bring healing to you. Your faith will change your heart. And your faith will also heal what's been wounded by the one that has talked about you. Your faith will bring such a healing that you'll look at yourself totally different. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. And what you going to tell me? Tamika looking at me a little sideways at times. It's okay, Tamika. She's like, I'm not sitting over here no more. But here's the thing. If you know who you are and you know that he's filled you to the brim, you know it's time for you to pour out and give to others, right? That's the kingdom of heaven. You put the kingdom of heaven into action by your faith. So what is the trick of the enemy? Look at your circumstance and do nothing. Look at your circumstance and look at how you can do it in the natural. You can't. You need God to do it in the supernatural so he meets all of your needs. If you know him as Jehovah Jireh, your provider, then he's going to do something supernatural. He is the God of the supernatural. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. This word shall go forth. Turn the white one down. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, verse 13. 22:13. Now, just write it down. You can go to it. Who has it right now, real quick? Genesis 22:13.
Read it out, sir. Then Abraham looked up and glanced around, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering and an ascending sacrifice instead of his son.
All right. Now listen here. Look at it. Now, we all know that story. Abraham took his son Isaac to be the sacrifice. And then the son says to Abraham, where is the sacrifice? So what happens is maybe our children see what we're lacking. Do the kids know that you're going through some hard times? Do your kids know that you're going through a season of being lean? And I mean this lean, but I mean pocket lean, like money lean. Do they know that it's been rough in your season? They can see that they don't have means for a certain sacrifice, but he says, don't worry, God shall provide. And then when he looks up, this is the ram that is caught in the thicket. Why is it so important to understand about the ram? Where does the ram go? He climbs up. See, God knows where you're going, and he sends the sacrifice. He sends your means. He sends your blessings ahead of you. But you may feel like you're going through so much stuff like the thicket, like you've been caught in some things. You've been caught in drowning in some bills. You're drowning in debt. You're drowning in a mortgage payment. You're drowning in all kinds of things. Maybe emotionally you're drowning because you don't have someone there that is to lift you up or to help you get to a certain point. But he says, I've got something for you. I already knew you were coming over here. I already knew your steps because I ordered them for you. I knew there was something that was going to make you look up to me. Where was he caught? By the horns. See, God has a way of making sure your provisions meet you right where you're going. But you have to get to that place first. If Abraham didn't follow his commands, he would have went up to the wrong mountain. It'd been a totally different story. But he listened to the voice of God, walked on the path of righteousness that he called for him to go on. He followed the footsteps. I believe that Abraham got up from the bed. He put his feet down. Not my will, Lord. Your will. What do you want for me to do today? Sacrifice your son. I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. Lord, what would you have me to do today? Sacrifice your only begotten son. This is the son of my promise. That ain't you, God. I'm going to go to a different mountain. What if he would have said that? But I believe he said, whatever it is. Whatever it is, God, I'm going to trust you. There was a ram caught in the thicket. Sometimes you're caught in some mess. You're caught in some things. But if you don't look to God first, you'll look at your circumstance and miss the ram that was caught just for you. See, sometimes you have to take life by the horns. Okay. Oh, I'm trying to work this thing. Y'all making me really work. Now watch this. I want you to say this out loud. There is a ram in my thicket. And when I get to where God is bringing me, the provision will be waiting for me. In Jesus' name. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. I will not lean to my own understanding, but I will acknowledge him in all his ways. And he will direct my path. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings 18:44. 1 Kings 18:44. If you got it, shout bingo. Just kidding. Just kidding. You got it? 44. Right? 1844. 1 Kings 18:44. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
And at the seventh time, the servant said, a cloud as small as a man's hand is arising out of the sea. And Elijah said, go up, say to Ahab, hitch your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you.
He is the God that will bring a storm in the middle of your drought. Wow. He is the God that will bring a storm in the middle of the drought, which incidentally, the same one that is calling for the rain to come is the one that caused the drought. What is that talking about? Even though you made some mistakes in your past, you caused yourself to go into debt, go into bankruptcy, you got yourself into places you shouldn't have been. Maybe you got ahead of God, did something wrong. You caused your own drought, but God says now, I want you to look by faith up and look into the heavens and look to see that if your faith says, I see a cloud like the size of a man's hand. His faith said, now go tell him. The rain is about to come. The rain is about to come. See, he is the God that will supply your storm. We would think that the storm's coming. I know this has been raining and raining, but it's been real dry for a long time, hasn't it?
Right.
I walked down the backyard where there hadn't been no grass. I ain't got no grass, but I got weeds back there. I mean, weeds, not weed. Weeds. It's a real church. I'm just saying because you know how they get, Sheree. Oh, you pass it way out there. He likes to do outreaches where there's alcohol and stuff, you know. If it's an outreach, you're reaching outside the church. You're reaching out to the world. Just saying. Look out in my backyard. Ain't nothing but weeds. Now all of a sudden all this rain comes. I said, Lord, I see some grass coming up. Where there hadn't been grass, it was nothing but dirt. Oh, wait a minute now. You see, when I used to mow the yard, the weeds, there was a couple of patches that were so hard, even when I would water, the water wouldn't seep through. But over the course of time, through these storms that were coming, it beat down on the hardness of the ground and allowed the soil that was once hardened to become now soft. I didn't have to till it. It seeped through, and the grass started to shoot up through it. See, there is a storm in the middle of your drought that he is sending, and it comes by faith. You may have been in a drought for a long time. You may have looked at, at least I'm not in the negative, but at least I paid my bills. Start thanking God now, because there is something that is coming in the heavenlies. He says, you've been in a season of drought or dryness, but I'm about to send to you your blessing. And your blessing is going to come, and it's going to bring your harvest to you. Woo-wee! Come on now, come on. Now say this and repeat after me. There is a storm for my drought. God has not forgotten me. He's about to send me a shower of blessings into my life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's some good stuff right there. Ooh, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. Woo, I wish I had somebody to understand what I'm talking about. Because you can look and say, Lord, I don't even know how I made it this far. But the goodness of God. Should have closed down, should have folded shop. But God says, I got you, son. I got you. I shall supply all of your needs. Needs, not wants. I want a lot of things. But what I do need, let's meet those first. And he did it. All right. He did it right on time, too.
Hallelujah.
All right. That was number two. Number three. Are you ready?
Ready.
Turn to Jonah chapter 1.
Oh, come on now.
Verse 17. Jonah 1:17. It's going to make you happy. If it's not making you happy, it made me happy. I did my job. Feel it. You got it, sir?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Now the Lord has prepared and appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights.
Lord, in the belly of a fish. Have you ever felt the things that are going on in your life are stinky?
Yeah.
Come on, I've never been in the belly of a fish. But I have opened up some fish's bellies before when I would cook them and clean them. Or clean them and cook them when I was fishing. It stinks. I don't know. Have you ever cooked fish in your home? Ooh. Look, when I do pork chops at home, my wife says, you ain't cooking that in the house. It's going to smell the whole house. You're going to take that pork chop. You're going to barbecue it outside. You're going to fry it outside all you want. But you ain't bringing it in the house because it's going to make everything smell in the house. That's pork chops. Imagine fish. Have you seen that commercial when the wife walks in and the husband's out there cleaning that fish right there on the counter? It's the Clorox wipes kind of commercial. Yeah, stinky. Wait. He is the God that will pick you up even when you're at the very bottom of the sea. Even when you're at the lowest part of your life with your walk in God, I ain't gonna do your will. I ain't gonna go to Nineveh. They're crazy. I'm not gonna go start a church. I'm not doing it. Come on, make it personal. Huh? James, I don't want to go downtown every Monday. Or this one. I don't want to go to work today. The boss don't like me. Huh? I got to deal with stuff. I quit. Get to the point. You're so low. It's stinky. Everything around you doesn't even look good. He is the God that provides to get you on dry land when you're sinking to the very bottom of your current circumstances. And your current circumstances stink. Everything around you looks like you're going in the wrong direction. But the next thing you know, God says, I have something for you. You may not like how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to get you to where you need to go. There's a people that need to hear what I put in your mouth. It's not about how you feel. Remember that I'm the God that created this fish just for you. Even when people threw you off and cast you off that boat and say, get rid of him, he's the problem. Get rid of her, she's the one causing all the trouble. And they throw you overboard. God says, don't you fret. You're not going to drown. I've got a great fish. That's what it says, great fish. I got a great fish just for you. You've been running in the wrong direction, but I have a way to get you up out of the bottom of the sea to get you on dry land. And when you awake and come up out of that fish, it says, the Bible says this, that the fish threw him up, spat him out. Imagine what else came up. Imagine what else. How about the seaweed wrapped around his neck the whole time? I bet you he was at that point and said, God, that's it. The seaweed that I have in here, I'm just going to use it to hang myself. I don't know with what, but on something. Man, let the acid just eat me up. Let it just burn me up so I could just die. Think about that situation. We think it's a Bible story. Oh, that didn't really happen. It was symbolisms of, like Pastor was saying, that we run from God, things get, you know, smelly and stinky, you know, just. No. I believe what I read in the Word. Amen. That's my faith. Amen. People say, well, it was a great whale. I ain't seen one since. It says a great fish, right? He gives an accolade to it. It's great. Anything that God uses to get you to where you need to go is called great.
Amen.
Woo. And we want to curse it, but it's called great. Isn't that good? Anything great is good because it gets you to where you need to be, even though it's not great to you. A great fish? A fish is going to make you go to where you need to be. A fish. I know that would be a real challenge, make her cause faith to really come in, because she don't like fish.
Ew.
All right, now, he is the blessing at the bottom of your sea. He is the blessing at the bottom of your sea. Even though the world is finished with you, God isn't finished with you. He has just begun a good work in you. And he will complete it in Christ Jesus. I want you to say to the world this. Say to the world, to the devil this. There is a blessing at the bottom of my sea. Just when I thought it was over, God says, I have only just begun.
Amen, Lord.
When you think you're about to quit, something has to end so that you can have a new beginning. Ooh, hallelujah. That's a good word, Pastor. I know. I'm going to keep preaching. All right. All right. Amen, Rose. Amen. Acts 16, verses 25 through 26. Acts 16, 25. Through 26. This is going to help you. This is going to help you. This is so good. This is so good. You got it, Jonathan?
Verse 26.
25 and 26. Acts 16.
I got it.
Okay, so go ahead.
But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were unfastened.
He is the God of the earthquake in your prison.
Amen.
He will cause the earthquake in your prison. Have you ever felt like everything you do has stopped you from going to the next place? Maybe there's some people that have had you bound that wouldn't let you go to the next level. Maybe there's some folks around you, whether it be family members, whether it be your own children, your spouse, that maybe they have you so tied down by, oh, Lord, help me with this one. not wanting to let you go into your full destiny because of their fear. Because of their own fear, they don't want to let you go. How about a mama? I had this question posed to me today, and I nearly wanted to slap the individual, but it's okay. They said, they're speaking to my son Josh at the table, and they're saying, Josh, you need to save some money so that when you're ready to move out, you can. I said, you better just stop right now. We ain't talking like that here in this house. I said, my son don't have to go nowhere.
Right?
Was it truth? And it happened today. It happened today. I said, wait a minute. What you talking about? You were doing real good up until you got to that point. I sat on the edge of my seat. My son ain't going nowhere. Until he get married, I'll marry him myself. But he stayed until he's 35. I just playing. No, I'm not, because it's my son. Right? Maybe I'm holding my son back because I don't want to see him grow up. Maybe I'm holding my son back because I'm afraid what will happen to him. And that's what's also putting me in bondage, putting me behind the prison walls, putting me behind the prison bars. And I don't realize it's my own thoughts and my own love for somebody else greater than what I should be doing that should be greater for God. We put ourselves in shackles sometimes by our thoughts and our emotions. Others will put us in shackles in them because they feel like you can't go. It's my time to go.
Yep. Amen. Mm. Amen.
You know how it gets when you see someone get blessed? Like, that should have been mine. Come on. You know, you see people getting blessed. They got themselves a new car. They got themselves a brand new church. You're like, yeah. Praise Jesus. I got to go to the gym. They got a new building. I'm going to go to the gym. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, bless God. God is good. Come on. Yeah, I know y'all think it too. Someone just starts in the job with you and they get promoted. You're doing the same thing. You've been there, baby. You've been there even longer than them. You have more tenure, and they get there, and they make more money than you. You're the one that had to train them. I don't like this message no more. But listen. He is the one that will bring an earthquake to bring the doors of your prison doors to swing open. What am I telling you? Is that God will rock your foundation of faith to make some things open and to loosen some things on you. He is going to rock your foundation of faith to open some doors for you and to loose some shackles off your life. But it's not just for you. The Bible says it was the other prisoners saw it too. But here was the key. It was at midnight. Midnight, when they speak that in the Bible, it's at the darkest hour. The darkest hour. You've already gone through. Now I've seen sunlight. Sunlight's going away, and I'm coming into darkness. But at my darkest hour, I lifted up praise. But it says there was a new song. They started singing a new song. What shifted? Something in their face said, I know it's not yet my time, but my kingdom of heaven is going to shake the kingdom of earth, and it's going to open the doors to the heavenly realm for me, and I'm going to walk out of my pressures. I'm going to walk out of everything that has held me back. I'm going to walk out of my circumstance, and when I walk out, I'm free and set free, and I know that I'm free. Woo! Love it. I love it. Thank you, Jesus. Say this loud like you really mean it. God is getting ready to shake.
God is getting ready to shake.
God is getting ready to shake down the walls.
God is getting ready to shake down
the walls. And I'm set free.
I'm set free.
I will never be bound again.
In
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Tamika, you know why he said an earthquake? I know, I heard you. I ain't sitting in this front row no more. I heard it. It's okay. It's all right. I heard you, girl. I heard you. The Lord showed me it's okay. Now, why an earthquake? James, stand. I want you to stand right there. Stand right there. Okay, James, as you're standing right there, you're standing on your own power. You're standing on your own balance. You're standing, and nothing should be able to knock you down if you're just standing there. Now, let's see. Matt, come over here, Matthew. Come over here, Matthew. Now, here was the thing with Paul and Silas. They were bound. Put your hands behind you, sir. Matthew, hold his hands. Hold his hands. Okay, now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. Now, not only are you behind the bars, not only are you in the view of the guards, but you're also shackled and bound. So when God comes through, he's going to shake the foundations of your world that you live in so that his faith inside of you begins to move the obstacles away from you. So when he begins to shake the foundation of his world, his natural, the supernatural realm now comes in and does what the natural couldn't do. It breaks off the chains. It breaks off the fetters. It opens the doors. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven came into full view and display here on earth. Why? Because faith puts heaven into action. Amen. What was the faith? Did they pray? Did they pray while they were in prison? All they did was they sang. Praise. They praised in the middle of their affliction, in the middle of everything they were going through. All they did was praise. And the other prisoners next to them heard it. The other prisoners heard it. I believe they were saying, that's a new song. We haven't sang that in church before. Matter of fact, I haven't been in church in a long time because when I get out of here, God's going to get me out of here. Then I'll go to church. God says, no, I'm coming into your world right now. I'm going to rock your foundation. I'm going to rock your faith. I'm going to rock everything about you. And what I'm about to do is I'm going to open some things that you know nobody has opened but me. That's what faith does. Rocks the very foundation of what your faith is now. You've been through something that's rocking your faith? Start celebrating. Start singing. Because as you start singing, something is about to be wide open for you. And the things that held you back are going to loose you and loose those around you because your foundation of your faith has been rocked. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Hallelujah. That helped me. Has my faith been rocked? Oh, yes. Lord, we need to pay the bills in here. And we ain't got no more money, Lord. You coming through for me? I ain't got to pay that last month. Okay, God, amen. Amen. I got to call Chad. No, I'm not going to call Chad. That's the property manager. I'm going to call him. You can get mad. Call him. Okay. Chad, this is Pastor Marty. Yeah, what's going on? I was getting ready to go right into the woe is me. Well, Lord says, you better celebrate. Chad, guess what happened, man? I know it's been slow. It's been bad. We don't have the finances. You've seen the way we've been paying you. So God has opened up a door for me to go someplace else for half the rent and all utilities paid. He said, what? Man, that is awesome. Watch what happened. I changed my perspective on how I was seeing it. Could have gave the sad story. Well, you know, it's just nobody shows up and tie's gone down and just ain't making it. I got to close down and be gone. But what I did is I celebrated. I said, man, sorry, a great opportunity came up. I can't pass this up. When do I get out? And he goes, well, October. You don't have to pay October, so that's going to save you. If you have a balance, oh, you can make payments, whatever, but let's work something. Get going. That's good. That's awesome. What happened? He heard my praise and my voice that affected him with celebration. So I can hear in the background the secretary that I always call and mess with. And she says, who's that? Oh, that's Pastor Martin, House of Manna. They're moving. And you can hear in the background, oh, man, we don't want them to leave. We're going to miss them. We would stay in contact with them whenever we were behind. So, God, you're good. You rocked my foundation. You rocked my world. But then you gave me a new song inside of me. Even in my midnight hour, you opened some things up. Not only was it for me, but it was to save others that would never come in to my walk. God is good. Come on. Come on. He's good. All right. John chapter 6, verse 7, and then 12 through 13. John chapter 6. Verse 7, and then 12 through 13. Got it. Go ahead, sir.
Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not enough.
Oh, stop right there. Watch this. Because he asked, what do we have? He said, how much?
200 pennies.
Worth of bread.
Worth of bread.
He's telling him, we only have this much. Right? This is all we have. See what it says? I'm looking at my current circumstance, and I'm now telling you what we have. I'll continue reading.
It's not enough that anyone may receive even a little. In verse 12, mm-hmm. When they had all had enough, he said to his disciples, gather up now the fragments. Mm-hmm. So that nothing may be lost and wasted.
He is the God that brings bread into your empty basket. He is your God that brings bread to your empty basket. Oh, Lord. You first have to bring what you have. What you bring, what you have, and there's more that you need to feed, God says, don't worry, I'm going to multiply it for you. I'm going to fill it. Not only am I going to fill what the little that you gave, I'm going to give you the abundance of what you didn't even have. And then you're going to go and gather even extra because you only gave me the little that you had. Amen. So, okay, we can use that for tithes and offering. No, I'm going to tell you that's your faith for the kingdom. I only have a little bit of faith, God. He says, that's all I need is the faith of the mustard seed. I don't need you to have faith of everything. Just faith of the size of the mustard seed. I'll move the mountains for you. All I need for you to do is just to believe in what I said, that what's inside of you is all of me. I filled you to the rim. Are you all ready to pour out now? But you just got to believe by faith, even if it's a little bit. Now, they begin to go out. And I believe what they were doing is, as every time they would take a piece of bread, another one would show up. They take the next piece of bread. Tamika grabbed the last piece, and all of a sudden it was full again. Darling, you took the last piece, and all of a sudden it was full again. Amen. They got to the very end. We got a full basket. We fed everybody. It says until they couldn't eat no more. Till they were full. It says they were up to 5,000, not including women and children. So he fed all of them till they were full. So I believe he came by Marty in the line. And Marty said, how much can I have? He said, take as much as you want. Because it was fresh bread. Because every time somebody took, there was more. So, you know, Marty's standing there taking a piece, and he sees more come. Got to the point, Marty couldn't eat no more. He said, the bread is good, forget the fish. He says, no, the fish is yours too. The fish too? So Marty's like this in the basket of bread and the fish. Got to the point he was like, this is good stuff here. Everybody else getting mad because Marty's taking up all the time. Just keep on. Keep getting to the fullest until you're full. Why is he saying that? Because he says you've got to fill things to the fullest. You've got to fill it up all the way to the top. Because it's time for you to keep giving and giving and giving. You first got to be full. Even though you come in with a little, the moment you step in, you put and you activate heaven in your atmosphere. That even if you give just a little bit of faith, he keeps giving you more. More and more and more and more and more. There's healing in you. There's healing in you. There's healing in you. I set the virtue of God right now when it went forth. There's healing inside of you right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare it to be so. By his stripes, you are already healed. In the faith of Almighty God, I believe that signs and wonder follow those that believe. I believe you're healed. In Jesus' name. We put the kingdom of heaven activated by our faith. By our faith. To gather it all up now. I'm the God that will put bread in your basket. Just bring me the basket. Just bring me the basket. Oh, he's good. Now let's say this together. There's going to be bread in my empty basket. You know, say it like you want it filled. There, say it again, Inez.
There's going to be bread in my empty basket.
In your empty basket, it's going to be full. So full that you even gathered the fragments of those that didn't have enough to eat. Because they couldn't eat no more. Amen. He said, I'm not letting anything go to waste. Go gather those. You started off by telling me the little that you had. Now look at what the kingdom, when it's activated by faith, what happens. Everybody gets enough of what they want, how much they can eat, and then there's still leftovers.
Amen.
Amen. That's the God that we serve. Now we're going to go back to John chapter 2, verse 10. John chapter 2, verse 10 is what we started off with. This is number 6. John chapter 2, verse 10. Read it, Jonathan.
And said to him, everyone else serves his best wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then he serves that which is not so good. But you have kept back the good wine until now.
He's saving the best for last. Maybe you have entered into this whole kingdom activation last in your lineage through your family. Maybe you're the only one that is pursuing after the kingdom. But because you came in last and your family wasn't there pursuing after, you're going to bless your lineage. You're going to bless your family. You're going to bless your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Those that are living with you today. Those that are witnessing everything. Because God does things to show himself off. To reveal the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what he does is, I save the best for last. Even though everybody else has tasted the worldly things. But what I'm about to do through you is they're going to taste the new wine. The new wine. The fresh wine. Amen. Woo, he's good. Isn't he good?
Yes.
Are you seeing this? That everything that you bring, even the little, he multiplies. He gives more. He does more above and beyond what you even thought, can imagine, or even think of. That's the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be new wine in place of my old water. There's going to be new wine in place of my old water. I want you, if you would, please stand with me as we declare this and we'll close with this. Josh, if you come and close early. I believe this is a word for this house. I believe it's a word for this house. If you believe either one of these verses that I just went over with you. Anyone. Maybe he saves the best for last. Or maybe it's about the baskets. He's going to fill my empty basket. Or maybe you're feeling like, you know what? He's going to bring the earthquake to loose me of my prison. Or there's a blessing at the bottom of my sea. Or is it the storm is about to release me of my drought. There's a ram in my thicket. There's something that ministered to you. There is something that came for you, specifically for you. And I want you to stand boldly with me. And we're going to declare this by faith. Are you ready?
Yes.
There is new wine in place of my water.
There is new wine in place of my water.
God is about to use me in new ways. He is getting ready to turn things around for me. He's taking my ordinary life and making it a supernatural flow of His kingdom. I will do what the Lord says, and it will come to pass. I believe by faith and not by sight that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I release now my faith to activate heaven here on earth. I speak to my finances, abundance. I speak to my health, be made whole. I speak to my heart to love others like I love God. I speak into my realm of my influence that I am the influence of the kingdom of God. I walk in power and the demonstration of His word, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now I activate by faith heaven here in my life, for my family, my extended family, and those that God puts in my path. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I want you to believe that the blessing was for you. This word was for you. This word is to penetrate into your soul and into your mind. And trust and see that God is doing great and mighty things on your behalf. Amen. Amen. Elder, go ahead and pass out the envelopes as you're doing that. Matt, go ahead and turn on the front light, please, sir, as he's passing those out. Amen. You can stop the recording. You can turn this off and do